Hi, this is Jennifer Sage with the Indoor Cycling Association, and I am really excited to bring you our guest instructor today, Bill Pierce, who comes from the Chicago area. How are you, Bill?
I'm great, Jennifer. How are you?
I am awesome. I am really excited for everyone to hear your profile because I do something similar, but you have such a great and clever twist to this profile. And without further ado, let me just tell you what it's going to be. Bill calls it the chase across Europe and the Middle East. Now, whatever possessed you, Bill, to put together a ride like this?
Well, I'm always looking for something different in my classes, different yet real, something to keep the riders engaged, something to keep them motivated and keep them working in a dissociative manner. And I've done similar rides to this. For instance, my holiday-themed ride is where we have our situation where we go up to the North Pole. We find that the reindeer are sick and unable to pull Santa's sleigh. So we attach our bikes to the sleigh and deliver gifts to good boys and good girls all over the world. And the riders seem to like that. And I also do a ride that you're familiar with where we scale the tallest peak on each continent. So this is somewhat an amalgam of those two. And it's really an adventure ride. It gives me the opportunity to really take the members' minds off of their hard work and get them into their imaginations, imagining that they're riding from country to country in an adventure, chasing after something, and really involves the members in the clue setting as well as picturing themselves in the individual countries that we are riding in.
Now, Bill has been an instructor for well over a decade, or maybe I shouldn't say well over, but just over a decade. And I've known you for most of those years via online forums, and we've ridden together in Colorado. And
one of us rode, one of us fell, but yeah, it was a great ride.
That was at the very end of a very long hilly ride. So, and one thing that I've always been impressed with you is your music choices are so unique, and you certainly, no one can say that you are common with your music, commonplace.
No one can say that I'm commonplace, period.
Exactly.
But yes. I like, personally, different music. It's pleasing to my ear to hear some new music, new sounds, and both in the, I'd say, indie genre, which I tend to listen to a lot, the electronic genre, which I listen to a lot, and I really love world music. And I think that our riders could benefit in their exposure to world music if they open themselves to it.
Yes, and part of that is how the instructor gives it and talks about it to their students. So Bill is going to take us on this exciting adventure, a chase across Europe and the Middle East. So why don't you give us a little discussion about your objective and what intensity is the class can be ridden at?
The objective is to really allow the riders to work at a higher level intensity in a disassociative manner. And we do that by taking them on an adventure. The ride itself is an interval ride. It's mostly aerobic, but there are some areas where they touch aerobic, anaerobic, Friel Zone 5A. And the idea is that if they're having so much fun, so engaged that they really don't know the level of effort they're putting in. They're putting in high levels of effort because they're incentivized to climb a mountain in Turkey or to make a certain destination in time in Greece. So it really is an all-terrain ride. The terrain is true to the individual countries that we're riding in. So it would include mountains and mountainous regions. It would include seas and oceans, and it's also true to the music. So I've tried wherever possible to use music indigenous to the country we're going to be in, with a few exceptions where I threw in different type of music to add some humor, add some levity really lighten the mood so they can continue their focus and their work as they get from country to country to country. The warm-up is really the setting of the stage for the entire ride. Prior to doing this, I announced to each of my classes that I had something special planned for the following week, but I didn't go into detail. Many of them responded by saying, oh, you're going to have music that we've actually heard before? But no, I wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be special. That would just be the same as what they're doing in most other cycling classes. So when they arrived, after setting the scene, greeting them, letting them know it was a special ride, I began to play the warm-up music, which is the Mission Impossible theme done by Limp Bizkit. Not their traditional Mission Impossible theme, but Limp Bizkit, which has a little bit different sound and a little bit more energy than the traditional MI theme from the TV show. I also was fortunate to find an instrumental version, and that allows me to talk, explain the ride, set the scene, get them out of their busy day into their imaginations without being interfered with by Fred Durst's lyrics. So we set the scene by telling them we're about to do the impossible, Mission Impossible. They're given their mission. And then to add some humor or levity, the opening message concludes by stating, this will self-destruct in 5 seconds, which came from the TV show for those old enough to remember.
Yes, we're dating ourselves, but hopefully the younger instructors listening to this will know what we're talking about.
So it's really important at that point to get them to stop thinking they're on bicycles that don't move in the cycling room that they're in every week and just imagine they're going on an adventure and to really encourage them to use their imagination. If they're cynical and they don't buy into it, it's not going to be a good experience for them. But if they buy into it, they look forward to experiencing the ride, seeing what's next, determining what next country is, what our next adventure is, then it really allows them to engage themselves and have fun while they're working really hard. So the scene is set. It's also aided with visuals. I'm a big proponent of providing visuals for those who are visual learners. I do not have a projector readily available to me in my gyms. In that case, I actually print out large pictures and walk them around the room. And the first picture that I share is a map of the general area we were going across the Atlantic, Europe, and the Middle East. And it gives them a familiarity with the region in case they're not familiar with where we'll be traveling.
If for instructors who do have the ability that do have projectors, how cool is that? You know, just project this up. These are your clues, or this is the map of the world.
Yeah, no. The projector would make this phenomenal because it then becomes an audio and visual experience. But that doesn't mean that you can't do it. It doesn't preclude any instructor for trying to do this ride, regardless of their room environment. So after they've bought into it, after they've seen where they're going, they're asked if they're ready to begin. And we begin by boarding an airplane, waiting on a runway, doorway wide open, and we're going to bring our bikes onto the plane. It'd be very far-fetched to say we're going to ride our bikes across the Atlantic. So we put our bikes on the plane, put them on an indoor trainer, something that cyclists are familiar with, and even non-cyclists would be familiar with it. The trainer goes back in the cargo area of the plane. We continue and extend our warm-up as we fly across the Atlantic until we descend and arrive in our first country.
Well, we can also say this could be, you know, technology that they're pedaling their bikes is keeping the lights on in the plane.
Or propelling the engines.
Or propelling the engines if we want to give ourselves a lot of credit. But
you need a lot of watts for that.
Yes.
So then we arrive, we land, we descend. And really, this is just an extension of the warm-up. The MI theme song is only 5 minutes. I don't feel comfortable with a five-minute warm-up. So we extend it with a very appropriate song, Leaving on a Jet Plane, in a non-traditional version, Me First in the Gimme Gimmes, 93 BPM, perfect for that, Flat Road Trainer, 93 RPM, and it gives them another 2.5 minutes to slightly increase their intensity and extend the warm-up until we land. And we land in our first country. There is not a visual clue here. We just describe the scene. We tell them that as we look out, the train is flat. It looks like planes. Then we use a pun. It looks like the rain falls mainly on these planes. And then we ask what country we're in. If they are paying attention and getting into it, you've pretty much told them they're in Spain. Some classes are more vocal than others. You may have to explain, we are in Spain.
I hate to say that age thing again. If you've got a group of really young people, they might not know the reference, but.
Okay. Well, fortunately, most of my classes are middle-aged demographic. So we're on the plains. That implies there are no hills, but the wind is strong on the plains. So we add enough gear and resistance to simulate that wind. And since the planes are plain, they all look the same, we really don't know where to navigate to. So we just head out. And we head in a straight line until we get to a dead end. And when we get to dead end, we have a choice. And this is where, again, you can engage the class, get them involved. Choice at a dead end is, can we go to the right or can we go to the left? And you can let them choose, or if they're non-vocal, you can choose for them. But the music is coordinated with the choices as written up in the profile. So when you get to the dead end, the tempo drops, the intensity drops, their cadence drops, and then they make the left, they make the right, the intensity picks up again, as does the tempo. And you continue through a series of dead ends, turns throughout Spain.
Well, that's a really clever way to use the changes in tempo of a song.
Yeah, it's a fartlek technique. I do it in fartlek rides. This is a little bit different in that we reach the end of the road and then have a fork where we have to decide which to go. And again, if they are engaged, it's a way to get them to participate by asking them whether we go right or left rather than dictating to them which way to go.
And there is no right or wrong, is there?
There is no wrong or right. This is
they
all.
Just let them choose, okay.
This is all really their imagination and the instructor's ability to visually and verbally guide that imagination. We then guide them to the next dead end, in which a piece of paper flies at them from off the planes. That wind off the planes flies a piece of paper into their area. And they then see the first visual clue. Again, this could be done on a projector. You would have to conjure up a different scenario for how they see the clue. And as shown on the handout, the clue shows the Arc de Triomphe and the Champs-Élysées. You can ask them, where is our next country? Again, if they are familiar with the world, they will guess France. Most of them do. They may need to be guided toward that clue. We then transport from Spain to France. They're geographically located next to each other. And the music changes to a personal favorite of mine, Stereolab, a French electronic indie artist from early 2000s, playing French disco. 150 BPM works to 75 RPM. So we have a little bit of a gear on, pushing the pace, and we're riding the same route that they ride on the last day of the Tour de France, the Champs-Élysées. We go up and down the road, starting out on a false flat down and then coming back, picking up intensity because it's a false flat up. And that's, again, somewhat choreographed to the tempo of the music. when we get back up the Champs-Élysées, the arc lies at the head of the Champs-Élysées, we see somebody laying a clue down at the bottom of the arc, and we need to get the clue before it blows away. This is a little bit more intense than the previous country, which was Spain. Bigger gear, more resistance, higher intensity. And it's also an opportunity for instructors who do Tour de France profiles to promote that, because we are riding on the Champs-Élysées, which is where the Tour rides on the last day of the race. We then get back up to the Arc de Triomphe. We find the clue to the next country. Pictured in the handout, you can see both the Roman Colosseum and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And riders, again, are asked to guess the last country. They should probably guess Italy. So we're on our way, again, geographically very close by to Italy. We start out climbing cobblestone streets of Rome, and we are riding by the Roman Colosseum. For those familiar with riding on cobs, it's pretty difficult. So bike handling is challenging, and we've got a bigger gear here. We then realize that that Leaning Tower is not in Rome, it's in Pisa, which is north of Rome. And we aren't going to get to our next clue without riding to Pisa. So we then pick up the pace. This is all set to the Euro 2008 Italian National Anthem dance remix, found on the internet, really cool dance remix. As we then get to Pisa, a little bit of different music, opera, and we're playing O Solo Mio by Pavarotti.
But how could you not go to Italy without Pavarotti?
If you're not an opera fan, very easily. But it's something different. It's something that the members probably don't hear in any of their classes, and very appropriate for the setting.
Yes.
So with the slow BPM, we're now climbing something. In this case, we're going around and around and around the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Cadence is brought down to 55 RPM, matching the 110 BPM of O Solo Mio, until we get to the top and we get our next visual clue. The Parthenon and a gorgeous picture of a Greek temple on the Mediterranean coast. So we are in Greece. We are riding by the Parthenon, which happens to be right by the nightclub district in Athens. As we hear, Anavisi is very popular in the clubs in Athens. We continue to ride around in circles. But because it's nightclub district, there are going to be revelers, partiers coming out of the clubs, and they may not see us riding. So be very careful unless one bumps into you. And at that point in time, you can walk by a rider. I would not suggest bumping into anybody on a bike. Walk by them as if you were going to graze or bump into them, and you can hand them the next clue. And the next clue is our next country. It's Israel. And we see a picture of Israel, but Israel is across the Mediterranean from Greece. So somehow we have to get across the Mediterranean. And there are ferries that leave. So then the music changes. There's a old club remix of the Zorba the Greek theme song that I found that has faster and faster tempo changes. So we use that to drive intensity and to drive cadence as we ride from Athens by the Parthenon, a nightclub district, to the Athens port. As we get closer and closer, we see that the ferry is pulling away. We have failed. Our mission has ended. We didn't get across the Mediterranean in time. Music slows down. We slow down. Then we see the ferry pulling back to port, coordinate with the music. The music tempo picks up a lot. We pick up our leg speed. We go to zone 5A, urgently trying to make that ferry before it departs. We make it onto the ferry, and we recover as we travel to Israel across the Mediterranean. We're in Israel now, and the picture I've used from Israel happens to be me standing in front of the Western Wall. So my writers kind of got a kick out of saying that, and I refer to myself in the clue as the shady character by the wall. If somebody were to use this picture, they might not want to use that description because it would have no relevance. My writers wanted it to be kind of humorous. We're on our way, once we arrive in Israel, we're on our way to find that shady character standing by the Western Wall. I also happen to be an aficionado of Israeli music. Sarit Haddad is a very big artist in Israel, so I have a very nice, long Sarit Haddad mix, 7 minutes and 11 seconds. When we arrive, we go in Tel Aviv, we go up and down the Tel Aviv port looking for the wall. Unfortunately, the wall is not in Tel Aviv. We realize the wall's in Jerusalem, so we have to ride up a hill.
Your tour guide has been giving you some poor information.
Well, no, Tel Aviv is on the Mediterranean, so we have to go to Tel Aviv anyway. We just didn't know where the wall is. We ride up a hill to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a very hilly city, beautiful and hilly city. We get to Jerusalem. We still don't find the wall. We're in a shuk, a market. We don't see the shady character. So we then have to again climb. And all of the cadence changes, as well as gear or resistance changes, are coordinated with the tempo of the music. Finally, we get to the old city where the wall is located. We see the shady character standing in front of the wall. And then we're able to get our clue to the next city. The next city will take some cueing and coaching. It's not something that writers are going to be familiar with, and it's actually something very tragic. If an instructor is not comfortable doing this, I would suggest skipping the next city, but I thought it was both geopolitically as well as geographically appropriate. Yeah, the next country is Syria.
This is starting to get real.
Well, the pictures I show of Aleppo before the destruction, Aleppo after the destruction, are tragic.
Yes.
And again, this is something that you may not want to bring in the cycling room, but it is the real world. This is happening as we speak in the country, and the country has been destroyed by its own people. But it's real, and the intent of this ride is keeping it real, both from a bicycling standpoint and a geographical standpoint. Wenu Wenu, performed by Omar Suleiman, who I'm familiar with, a pretty popular Syrian artist, has actually traveled and toured quite a bit in the U.S. And this gives the riders a taste of what's really happening in the country. First thing we need to do is we need to get from Israel to Syria. Geographically, that's over the Golan Heights. Kind of a no man's land occupied territory right now. And then once we get to Syria, we are privy to seeing the destruction. We go through outskirts of Damascus and various other cities. The topology of Syria has some hills, but what I decided to do here is have them get a feel for the destruction by riding through the destruction, the picture of Aleppo post-destruction gives a nice flavor. And when we arrive at each of these towns and see the destruction, we are forced to come out of our saddle to ride up and above the debris that's laying on the ground, the debris caused by the war there. Again, this might be something people are not comfortable doing. That's their discretion. We eventually continue north through Syria as we get to Aleppo, northernmost city. We share the next visual clue, which is a gorgeous mosque in Turkey. They may not get Turkey. If they don't, the clue that any instructor can use is ask them what they ate for Thanksgiving. They'll figure out the next country is Turkey. Turkey, I wasn't as familiar with the music, so I actually had some fun researching. Bengu is a fairly popular Turkish artist, and I found something at 132 BPM because Turkey is a mountainous country. And as we ride through the Caucasus, we then have various mountains to scale. until we get to the next country, and there is no visual clue to the next country. The next country, again, is thrown in to lighten the mood. So we tell them that we can't take our eyes off the road because of the elevation. So the next clue is going to be an audio clue. And as you state that, the song changes to Georgia on My Mind by Ray Charles. And everybody will smirk or laugh or take some humor in the next country being Georgia. Now, people who have participated in my Scaling the Tallest Peak on Each Continent ride know that the tallest mountain in Europe is in Georgia, Mount Elbrus. So Georgia is going to be a climb, but it's a short climb, and I didn't want to spend a lot of time riding a Georgia on my mind. So it's just a snippet that I edited down to a minute. As we then climb the top of Mount Elbrus, we get the clue to our final country where the purpose of our mission will finally be divulged. I chose to use a Russian version of a song that was somewhat popular in the U.S. by Tatu. Tatu is a Russian artist. In fact, they performed when the Russian Olympic team came out during the most recent Olympics, Winter Olympics. La Chosa Sauma has various tempo changes, and we use those as switchbacks. This part of Russia, very mountainous. So as the tempo of the music picks up, we then use that to scale up a switchback. For riders not familiar with switchback, you can explain that to them. But essentially, it's so steep that they can't go straight up the mountain. They have to go in an angle, lessening the incline. We have a series of four switchbacks coordinated with the music. And then finally, we get closer to Moscow. And at this point in time, we are going to find out what our final mission is. And I thought a lot about this, how I could present it. I could make it very serious. I could make it very political. I could make it something that was very esoteric, or I could make it something funny. I thought something funny was the best way to go, given what's happening in the world right now. So I then cued by saying, we're now approaching Moscow. We'll find out our final mission. Are we going to assassinate Putin? Depending on when you do this, this may or may not be funny. Are we going to kidnap Snowden and bring him back to the U.S.? Again, depending on people's political leanings, that may be humorous or not. Finally, our final mission is revealed. It's to rendezvous with the greatest spy who has ever lived. And working the timing perfectly as you state that, the members then hear snippets that I took from Austin Powers. And we get to, oh, behave, or danger's my middle name. They all laugh as they begin their recovery.
That's, and how many times have you taught this?
Probably a half dozen.
I was just smiling the whole time, just imagining how fun this would be to teach and to get your students to interact with you.
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. Now, it's also something that the instructor is not going to be spending a lot of time on the bike on. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have an opportunity to use your off-the-bike coaching skills and really interact with the members, read the room, a lot of opportunity for improvising. Some of these things, the first couple times that I did it, I didn't have all these details. I just created them on the fly. And each time I do it, I can add a slight nuance, a slight subtlety to the country we're in or reading the room, what we're going to do next. It's also a phenomenal opportunity for an instructor to improve on their verbal imagery and cueing skills. The instructor is setting the stage for the ride. The music is the road. It takes them to the various countries, but the instructor uses their imagination to guide the riders across the Atlantic and the Middle East and Europe to their final destination.
So for everyone listening to this, will you do us a favor? If you teach this profile, will you comment about your reactions and your students' reactions? Or if you maybe found some different countries or different songs that you want, that you decided to use, let us know what they are, and we can create this kind of growing global adventure.
Well, I would also suggest that any instructors in Europe or the Middle East might want to do this in their country, or might want to travel west across the Atlantic and do something like this in the U.S.
Well, I have a profile that I have. One of these days I'll put it on ICA, and it's across the U.S. and through Route 66. So that's kind of fun, too. But you can really do this anywhere. You can do it, you know, north to south. You can do it, you know, across Canada and, you know, through snow countries. Christine, one of our contributors, is really excellent at creating those kinds of visuals. And she did a ride, one of our profiles, on movements in a winter environment, whether you're skating or sledding or moving through deep snow. So,
awesome. As long as they keep it real, from a cycling standpoint, from a geographical standpoint, and from a musical standpoint, I think part of the fun of this is exposing riders to what do they listen to in Syria? What type of music is played in Israel? Who are the artists that Russians will listen to? And it really exposes them to a world of music that's out there that they may never hear.
And you know, you bring up a good point, especially for instructors who are a little tentative about, who think their students might not like some different music. This is a real great opportunity for you to put that out there, you know, and then later on.
In this context, world music fits perfectly.
Yeah, you can't do it otherwise. And then later on, you can start incorporating some world music into your, just your regular normal profiles. Bill, thank you so much for opening our members' eyes to some really creative and musically interesting adventure.
My pleasure. Anything that I can do to help you, ICA, and the indoor cycling industry as a whole, I would love to do.
And we will have you back.